The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Try a month in print and online for free. And, for a limited time only, get a free wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger to start today.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Kate Andrews, and I'm joined today by the Spectator's political editor, James Forsyth, and deputy political editor, Katie Balls. At today's press conference, Boris Johnson confronted head-on the story that dominated headlines this weekend, that his chief advisor, Dominic Cummings, had traveled from London to Durham at the height of the lockdown so relatives could provide childcare support should his family become incapacitated by COVID-19. The Prime Minister announced that he had spent 48 hours looking into it and concluded that Cummings was not guilty of breaking lockdown rules. The Prime Minister left no room for ambiguity on his position towards Cummings. Here's what he had to say.
And I concluded that in travelling to find the right kind of childcare, at the moment when both he and his wife were about to be incapacitated by coronavirus, and when he had no alternative, I think he followed the instincts of every father and every parent, and I do not mark him down for that.
So, James, does this draw a line under the Cummings controversy?
Yeah, I think number 10 will hope so. I think the decision to put the Prime Minister himself up for this press conference, rather than any other member of the cabinet, was clearly designed to kind of make it more of an emphatic statement. And I think before the press conference, there was lots of speculation that there would be an inquiry announced or some ombudsman would look at the situation. And Boris Johnson didn't choose to do that. Boris Johnson chose to put his full political weight behind Dominic Cummings to make clear that he thinks that Dominic Cummings, and he said, I don't mark him down for any of that. And he said that he'd had extensive conversations with Dominic Cummings about all the various allegations made and that he was fully satisfied. As you said in your question, Kate, it was totally unambiguous support for him.
And Katie, there have been calls from prominent backbenchers this weekend for Cummings to go. Their frustrations proved powerful earlier in the week when they got the PM to U-turn on the NHS surcharge for migrants working in health and social care. Why haven't backbenchers been listened to this time?
So I think what's interesting is I've had a few people say to me today, oh, well, look at the migrant surcharge. We saw the power of the backbenchers there. This is what's happening here. I think it's a little bit different for a few reasons. Firstly, I think that so far, I think there's only a handful of Tory MPs who have gone public. I definitely do think it's the case that there are more Tory MPs behind the scenes and ministers who are very uncomfortable with the situation. But in terms of those who have gone public, it is only a handful. And some of them are figures who I don't think on any given day, even Dominic Cummings' best day, would count as someone who supports that person. So, for example, Damien Collins, someone who's been very critical of Dominic Cummings for some time. And I think there's a few that fall into that category. There's more who I think is specifically, you might not guess them in advance for this. But at the moment, I don't think it's reached the numbers of this full-on, pressure of building up. But I think what's interesting is clearly the Prime Minister decided not to listen to those concerns today in his appearance at the press conference. Does it now lead to more MPs coming forward? I think one rumour that was doing the rounds for the press conference was that the Prime Minister could perhaps suggest that he was going to launch an inquiry into what happened in the case of Dominic Cummings. Now, this had some appeal to those who I think are slightly sympathetic to where Boris Johnson is on this, because potentially an inquiry, as we saw with Priti Patel, you look like you're doing something, it goes on for some time, by the time the result comes in, attention could be elsewhere. So it gives you some cover, regardless of whether or not that is going to lead to a result which sees a change or not. By deciding not to even consider that route, to go for the full defence, I do think that there'll be some Tory MPs who will be probably more concerned. I think others will be glad that he has stood up, but I do think that this isn't going to solve the backbench problem. And you combine that with the fact that you have a Labour Party led by Keir Starmer really going on their tack on this, but in a way which has been quite a gradual build. So we had questions yesterday. Today there's a video that the Labour Party account has released, clipping parts of Boris Johnson's speech on lockdown. and imposing, you know, pictures of Dominic Cummings and making all about Dominic Cummings. So this story isn't going to go away. So the Prime Minister's made a calculation that he can front it out. They're going to be able to ride it out. But the factors in terms of the hostility he is facing, both from the opposition and in some areas of his own party, hasn't gone away. And I don't think the Tory MPs who were concerned before the press conference, they haven't changed. They are still concerned, as far as I understand it.
James, Scotland's chief medical advisor had to resign at the beginning of lockdown when she visited her second home, as did Sage advisor Neil Ferguson when it emerged he had a visitor to his home. Do you think Boris Johnson did enough today to draw a clear distinction between what Cummings did and what previous advisors did? Or has he yet to escape the accusation that there's one rule for some and another rule for everyone else?
I mean, that was the charge he tried to take head on at the start of the press conference. I think Boris Johnson's argument is, look, this involved childcare for a young kid. No child under five can cook for themselves or provide for themselves for days at a time if their parents are incapacitated. And so I think there is a difference between that and this case and the Neil Ferguson case, or visiting a second home purely to check on the house rather than because you think that you might need help in the future. I think on Katie's point about the backbenches, I think one of the things that Boris Johnson will hope is that by throwing himself so unambiguously behind Dominic Cummings, backbenchers will realise that, you know, this isn't just about one advisor, this is now about the Prime Minister's authority, and that will lead to people not joining the calls for Dominic Cummings to go. I think that is part of the reason why Boris Johnson was so unambiguous in his defence. No Tory backbencher is going to wonder what the Prime Minister think that the Prime Minister is on the fence on this question.
Katie, fast polling over the weekend showed that the majority of people thought Cummings had broken the rules, and more than half said he should resign. Given that other polling recently has shown record high levels of confidence in this government are starting to slip, can we chalk this up to political noise, or has the PM taken a serious political gamble by backing Cummings in terms of his popularity with the public?
I think this is clearly a gamble. It is a political calculation Boris Johnson has made that he can front out some of the, you know, concerns in his own party as well as the public pressure. We've heard, you know, from certain figures that this could just be a bubble issue. It might not have the cut through. And certainly yesterday, when we were having lots of MPs and ministers, perhaps prompted, take to social media to defend Dominic Cummings, one of the lines a few of them were going for was that this was a non-story. I think there's a question of how much cut-through does this have. Now, I don't think we're going to know the level of cut-through for a few days. I think we'll start to show potentially in the polling, at least in Number 10's internal polling. They do a daily poll in terms of trust in government. And I think that if that starts to drop considerably compared to what they would normally expect, then there'll be a realisation they have a real problem. I think that given that it's been all over the papers today, the question is, how quickly can you move on to a different topic? I thought it was interesting that clearly Boris Johnson came to that press conference trying to move the conversation onto schools. So he made a brief statement at the beginning where he spoke about why he had made the decision to stand by Cummings, and then moved on to talking about schools and reopening. A hot political potato in many ways, you know, one of those topics which does ignite different groups. But I think still, I would suspect a lot of the papers are still going to be leading on this story. So I think that in terms of public opinion, it's going to take a little bit longer to know the true effect. But I do get the sense that this story, it lives beyond just Twitter.
James, do you agree? It seemed in the Q&A session that almost every journalist had a follow-up question about Dominic Cummings. So while the Prime Minister has tried to draw a line underneath this, is it actually going away?
Well, I think if you look at the Prime Minister's diary, I think he's up in front of a liaison committee on Wednesday. And several of the MPs who've been most, Tory MPs who've been most critical of Dominic Cummings are on that committee. There is also a certain history between Dominic Cummings and Bernard Jenkin, who is the new chair of that committee. So I would be surprised if it didn't come up on the Wednesday. Number 10 have clearly decided to try and ride this out. I think it's reasonable to think that to think this is going to come up on Wednesday, and that's going to give the story a bit more impetus at that point. But Number 10 have clearly decided that they are prepared to accept this being on the front pages for several more days.
And James, as Katie mentioned, another announcement we heard today is that the government will be pushing forward with reopening primary schools for reception year 1 and year 6 on the 1st of June, albeit with the caveat that they know not every school may be able to do this right away. How much pushback can we expect to see from the teachers' unions this week? And what does this tell us about the pace of lockdown easing?
Well, I thought the school's announcement was interesting because it said, yes, we still want schools to reopen, primary schools in England to reopen on June the 1st for reception year 1 and year 6, but it accepted that not every school is going to do so. But I thought what was interesting was the announcement that secondary schools will be encouraged to start contact with children in 2-year groups from June the 15th. And I think that gives you a sense that the lockdown easing is going to pick up. If you look at what is happening in those European countries where they've eased up more, they are not seeing a new spike in infections. And I think the political pressure on Boris Johnson from within his own cabinet and within his own party to ease the lockdown up will mean that things are going to ease up a bit faster than people expect. I mean, there is also a simple reality here that lots of industries in this country are quite seasonal. So, for example, it will be devastating for the tourism industry if, you know, this country is still locked down in the summer months of July and August. And so I think we can expect the pace of lockdown easing to begin to pick up if it continues to be the case that those countries that have already eased the lockdown continue not to see any spike in new infections.
And Katie, when asked if more shops would be opening on the 1st of June, the PM said, watch this space. Should we expect more lockdown easing leading up to Thursday's reassessment of the measures?
I think there will be some easing when we get to an announcement for early June. I think that's the deadline that is being looked at. And I think at the moment, there's still conversations that are ongoing. I think that if you look at the advice the government got from SAGE recently, so the scientists advising the government, I think it gave them actually more limited space than some ministers had hoped, so that there are fewer options perhaps if you're thinking about the R rate, which is what Boris Johnson has decided to almost dictate everything by. But I think that you potentially will get non-retail, but another thing I think they're really looking at is how to bring back certain parts of the hospitality industry eventually. So, for example, how you move various things outside, whether it's an alfresco shop or, you know, an alfresco beer. And I think that might be one of the first things they're able to do in terms of what they open up.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening to Coffee House Shots.
The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Try a month in print and online for free. And, for a limited time only, get a free wireless phone charger. Go to www.spectator.co.uk/charger to start today.